Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Samach Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we look at the second line from the top on Daf Samach Gimel, we will notice a diamond. The diamond, in effect, is a continuation of a marking that we started on Daf Samach Beis, and at that point we had alluded to the series of comments that Rabbi Yehuda makes in the context of the kashrus or lack thereof regarding birds that exist in the wild. Omar Rav Yehuda, Shakitna. Rashi explains Shakitna Shem Ho'oif V'yesh Bohen Shnei Minim. It's a type of bird, and there are two varieties: Oisam Sheshokem Arukin V'gufon Odom Shari. And we'll see another type that has the... We should mention that Shokov Arukin was have long legs and a red body. And we'll see another type that is short-legged. And one is Mutter, the long-legged one is Mutter, and the short-legged one is forbidden. Once again, there are two different kinds of birds. There is similarity in the names, but as we've seen already in the past, the fact that there's similarity in the names is not indicative of their being part of the same family of bird. So the Gemara, Omar Rav Yehuda, Shakitna, this Shakitna, it depends. Arichi Shaki Fesunki, if it's a Shakitna with long legs and a sunki red body, Sharya, it's Mutter. Vesimonech, Murzima. In order to remember that, think of Murzima. The Murzima is a bird that happens to have long legs and a red body, and that bird was well known as being kosher. So if you think of Murzima, it will remind you of long legs and red body, so this other bird that has that characteristic is also kosher. We're not suggesting that the Murzima and Shakitna are one and the same. Rather, the thinking of the Murzima reminds you that just like that happens to be a long-legged, red-bodied bird, so too the Shakitna, which apparently is a less known bird, also has those characteristics, and it happens to be a kosher variety bird as well. Gutzi Visumka Visumki, a Shakitna that has short legs and red body, Asiri, that is not allowed. It's a different kind of bird, but it's not allowed. V'simonech nanos posel. In order to remember that the short-legged one is not allowed, think about the concept of a dwarf with regard to serving a dwarf kohen serving as a kohen in the Beis Hamikdash. Being that a dwarfism is considered a mum, he would not be allowed to serve in the Beis Hamikdash, and hence something that's disqualified is a memory device for our bird, which is excluded, disqualified from the realm of kashrus, and that is the case with the short-legged Shakitna. Now, there's a third type, Arichi Shaki V'Yeruki, if it's long-legged but Yorok in color. The word Yorok we've contended with in the past, it's a word that is hard to translate because there are different approaches to the word, as you can find in Rishonim commentaries. But for our purposes, we'll just note it as Yorok sometimes. It's yellow. Anyway, the Yorok is Asiri, and the Simonech, the way to remember that is remember what it taught in the Mishnah regarding a bird that fell into a fire, and it said that if its inner organs turned Yerukin Psulim, if they became discolored and they became Yerukin, is the Lashon of the Mishnah, so it's Pasul. So for our purposes, you see that the Yerok bodied bird is associated with something forbidden, just like the organs, when they turn Yerok, indicate that the bird is has become a trefa. Omar Rav Yehuda. This next word is from the Pasuk in Parsha Shmini, Vayikra, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Zayin, in which the Torah lists the forbidden types of birds. So Rav Yehuda explains, Sholach, which is the name of a bird in Sefer Vayikra, Zeh Hashele Dogim Min Hayam. That is that a bird that draws fish from the sea. We're familiar with birds that do that today, not suggesting that any translation over here, but for example, a seagull is a type of bird that fishes, so to speak, from the sea to get its food. Duchifas. This is also in the Sefer Vayikra. It happens to be in Pasuk Yutes. Shehoidoi Kofus. The crown on the head of this bird is thick. Its kofus is thick, and it's as if it's doubled over. Tanya Nami Hachi Duchifas, that bird is Shehodo Kofus. It could very well be that the name Duchifas is associated with a type of contraction for these words Hodo Kofus. Vezehu Shehevi Shomir Lebeis HaMikdash. This bird, the Duchifas bird, is the one that brought the Shomir, was a creature that was able to, maybe through some type of bodily secretion or of a miraculous nature, was able to cut through rock. That's the Shomir. In order for Shlomo HaMelech to get the Shomir, a Duchifas bird brought it to him. Rabbi Yochanan ki havechazi sholach omar. When Rabbi Yochanan would sight a sholach bird, he would recite, or he would be reminded of the pasuk mishpatecha tohoim rabo. Ki havechazi nemola omar. And when he would see a nemola, often translated as an ant, he would say tzikoscha kaharei el. Let us go over these two comments through the eyes of Rashi. The Rashi presents the Gemara text in a different order than the way we have it. So let's work with the Dibur HaMaschils. The first comment that was made in our Gemara was when Rabbi Yochanan would see the Sholach, he would react Mishpotecho Tohoim Rabo. The Rashi, Umishpotecha af betom rabo, she zimanto sholoch lishpoit velasus nikmoscha bedigas hayom, lohomis hamezumonim lemoves. The Pasuk says that your judgment reaches even the great depths. Rashi just explained that upon seeing the sholoch bird, The Rabbi Yochanan would be reminded of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Almighty's judgment of creatures, even in the depths of the sea, that this Sholach bird, which we said was Shoyle Dogim in Ayam, would go fly out to sea and scoop up a fish that was deemed to, was deemed to die, whose time has come, through the judgment of God. So that God judges all of his creatures, and when the time comes to receive judgment, he sends this bird even out to the depths of sea. That's one pshat. That's Loshon Mori. Lishna Achrina, another pshat, Rashi says, is going really, we should have noted that this Lishna Achrina is going on the issue of the ants. So let's now turn to the Rashi above, where you see a number one, Sikosla Kare El. The Gemara told us that when Rabbi Yochanan would see a namola, an ant, he would be reminded, he would say, recite this pasuk, Tzidkoscha, your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. So now, looking at the Rashi, where you see a number one, Tzidkoscha kareel, de'afilu namola, even an ant, isle chiyusa kegedola. An ant is a very small creature, but it has its own full life, so that the Kodesh Baruch Hu, even to these very small creatures, bestows life. And that's a sign of the great righteousness and concern that the Almighty has for His world. Now, there's a Lishna Achrina that we stopped at before in the Rashi. You'll see it squiggled on with a number two. L'nemola hu omer tzidkoscha karei el. Shemezeneseha mizumanim la b'loi toirach. The ant, wherever it goes, it seems to have food available. So without any effort, the ant is sustained. That's the righteousness of the Kodesh Baruch Hu to His creatures. However, v'imi shato nishpat, however, with someone that, with a creature that the Kodesh Baruch Hu has judged in an unfavorable way, then atodonoi atoim rabo, you the Almighty, judge him to the very depths. Kegoin sholach, sheturach levake sham mezainosav, like the sholach bird that has to go out to the high seas in order to find its food. In other words, it's with difficulty that it gets its sustenance. So that everything in life is planned, is designed, is overseen by the Almighty. The Gemara continues. Omar Amemar, Lakni Ubakni, these are names of birds. Sharyon are mutter. Shaknoi Ubatnoi, other kinds of birds. It depends. Mokoim Shinoagu Lecho, Ochlin, place that the custom was to eat it, they would eat those. Mokoim Shinoagu Shelo Lecho, Ein Ochlin. Places that it wasn't customary to eat them, the Shaknoi and Batnoi, so that you wouldn't eat it there. The Gemara asks, Otu b'minhoga talya milsa? Is kashrus something that's dependent on customs? The Gemara says, in, yes, this is a matter of custom. V'lo kashya. We should maybe explain beforehand that the wonderment of the Gemara is that kashrus, you would have expected, is dependent on facts or on concrete signs that exist, not on simple practices. So the Gemara says, and as we look into this matter a little deeper, that custom plays a role in with regard to this to these birds, the Shaknoi and Batnoi, the lo kashya, ha ba'asra d'shchichi peres ve'oznia. In a place that the Peres and Ozniah birds are common, we're afraid that what you think is a Shaknoi and Batnoi might in fact be a Peres or Ozniah. Apparently, they are similar. Ha ba'asra delo shchichi Peres v'Ozniah. If you're in a community that, or in a region that Peres and Ozniah birds are not found, then you don't have to worry that maybe the Shaknoi and Batnoi are those, and you can eat it. Eat them, the Shaknoi or Batnoi. Let us look into the Rashi for a little more elaboration. Across from here, a few lines down, Rashi says, Deshrichi Shiroinum Shuchsukusham Peres Vosnia, in a place that we have seen the Peres and Ozniah to be found, Asiri. The Shaknoi and Batnoi are forbidden. The Hani Nami Bechad Simen Osu. The Shaknoi and Batnoi happen to have one simen of kashrus, one sign of kashrus, one of the four possible signs, just like the Peres and Ozniah birds are also birds that have only one sign of kashrus. Veshema mi minom hain. It could be that the Shaknoi and Batnoi are are variations of the Peres and Ozniya. V'asra d'lo shchichi Peres v'azisharu, in a place that Peres and Ozniya are not common, d'amistamo lo machzikin en lohu, d'lo shchichi b'yishuv. If we don't have any information, then we don't make assumptions that they are there. And therefore, in a place that they're not found, the Peres and Ozniya, which are known forbidden one simen birds, we don't have to take into consideration that there are other birds that are related to the Peres and Ozniya. Continuing in the Gemara with other kinds of birds, Omar Abaye, Koi v'kaku'i asiri, kaku'asa sharya. Even though the names of these birds are similar, they're simply different varieties, and therefore the kaku'i is asir, and the kaku'asa is allowed. B'marova malku iluya, v'koru la tachvasa. In Eretz Yisrael, they would actually lash for it, indicating that, as we've seen in previous Gemaras, that the prohibition is not one out of doubt, but it's one of certainty. And that bird which was forbidden in Eretz Yisrael, they happen to call Tachvosa. Tonu Rabbonon. As you can see, there's a framed section, and in our Gemara markings, frame sections are Tanaic sources, and we frame them so as to set them apart from the rest of the Gemara. Before going on, let us glance at the outside margin. We have our nosei, our topic heading. The topic heading reads, Shnei Brisos, we'll see two Tanaic sources back-to-back, Be'inyan Tinshames Shel Amikra. The word Tinshames appears in the Psukim in Sefer Vayikra, Perek Yud Aleph. It appears in two places, Echad Ba'oifos Ve'echad B'shrotzim. One in the case of birds, and the other in the case of shrotzim. Shrotzim are small creatures, including insects and certain types of rodents. V'hemshich diyun shemos b'ofos. As we go on in the Gemara, there will be further discussion concerning bird names and their kashrus. So we have two brises, both of them opening up with tinshames. These are words from Perek Yud Aleph in Sefer Vayikra. So the first word is coming from Pasuk Yud Ches. Tinshames, bo'us sheba oifos. This word bo'us, there's a commentary that's on the outside margin of the printer includes, and he says that it's mo'us, something that's, we'll say, mo'us usually means disgusting, or we can say strange, out of the ordinary. So the Gemara says here in this Brisa that the Tinshamas is bo'us sheba ofos. It's a strange, unusual bird. Atomer bo'us sheba ofos, or enel bo'us sheba shrotzim. Maybe it's the disgusting type of sheretz creature, not bird. Amris, so we answered, say, ulamad mi yud gimel midos shatur nidroshes behen. If you have a doubt, so then rely on any of the 13 methods that the Torah is expounded upon. And one of them is dover halomed minyono. That's the name, that's the type of Torah learning method. Dovra lomid minyano means learning through context. Bamea kosuv medaber. When you look at this pasuk vayikra yud aleph pasuk yud ches, you'll find the pasuk is talking about ba'oifos. The context is oifos af kan ba'oifos. So too the tinshomes that's mentioned in the context of birds is a bird. Tanya nami gabi shrotzim ki haygavna. With regard to shrotzim, we have a very similar situation. Tinshames, the pasuk says tinshames, as we've mentioned in a different pasuk there in pasuk in Perek Yud Aleph. Bo'us shebishrotzim. It's the disgusting or the strange type of sheretz. Ata oimer bol sheba shrotzim o ein ola bol sheba oifais. You say it's shrotzim, but maybe it's a type of bird. Say amris, so we answer. Say ulamad miyud gimol midos shatara nidrashus bahen. Davar halamed minyano. Learning through context. Bamea kosu medaber. In the case of this pasuk where Tinshamas appears, which is a different pasuk than that which we cited above. So what's the context of this pasuk? Bishrotzim. It's the context is shrotzim. Afkan bishrotzim. So to Tinshamas is a reference to a type of sheretz. Omar Abaye. Bo'us sheba'ofos equals kipuf. Rashi makes reference to bo shebovos of hatsoik balaila. It's a nocturnal bird that screams at night, which there's a French word that Rashi uses, which may be a reference to an owl. Bo shebishrotzim kurpedoi. The kurpedoi is the what's referred to when we speak about the bo'os shebishrots and the strange or the unusual type of sheretz. Omar Rav Yehuda, ko'os, which is in Pasuk Yud Ches, there in Perek Yud Aleph, ze ha-kuk. Rachom, also in Pasuk Yud Ches, ze zu shrakrak. These are different types of birds, and what Rav Yehuda is doing is he's giving a known translation in Gemara terminology for that which is found in the Torah. So the words koos and racham are found in the Torah. Rav Yehuda says that koos and racham are kuk and shrakrak respectively. Amar Rav Yochanan, loma nikra shmoi racham. Why is that bird called by that name? Answer: Kevan shebo racham. When this bird appears, bo'u rachamim leolam. It's a sign that rain is coming. Omar Rev Bevai bar Abaye, v'hu diyosiv a midi. The appearance of this racham bird as a sign that rain is coming. This is provided that the bird sits on something. The ofid shrakrak. Shrakrak is the sound that it makes, and it's ugemiri, and we have a tradition: the yosiv ha'ara v'shorik also meshicha. If it sits on the ground and makes its call, that's a sign the Moshiach is coming. Shenemar eshrika lohem v'kaptzein. See, in the word eshrika is reminiscent of shrakrak. And Vakaptseim indicates there will be an ingathering, so that if this bird sits on the floor and calls out, that's a sign the Moshiach is coming. The Rashi adds that the fact that the bird is seated and calling out, it's a simen that there is an announcement that it's making. Omar Rav Ado Bar Simi Lamor bar Rav Idoi. V'ha, he asks, v'ha ahu, there was once a this bird, the Rachom. The Yosef Beikarba, it was seated on a plowed field. The shorak, it made its call. The osa glau, and a stone came, afsike lemoche, and smashed the bird's skull. Omale hahu baidahave. So, Mor Barav Idoi says to Rav Ado, says that bird was a liar, and therefore it was smitten. Tonu Rabbanan. Orev ze oirev. The posuk makes a reference to the orev bird. So the Tana says orev, this is the orev. Eskol ha-orev. The posuk uses that expression. And this eskol is Lahavi Oirev Ha'amoki. Pasuk goes on to say, Lemino. Es Kola Oirev Lemino. Now that expression is Lahavi Oirev Haba B'Roshe Yoinim. That's to include the that bird, the Oirev that's Ba B'Rosh Yoinim, an expression that the Gemara will explain a little later. At this point, the Gemara goes over this Tanaic source with explanation. Omar Mar, Orev, Ze Orev. What is the Tana trying to say when he quotes the word from the Torah and then says the same thing? So, is Otu Kamon Koi? If the scenario was that the Tana was sitting in front of us and pointing to an Orev bird, so then this would make sense. It would be that the Tana, in effect, is citing the word from the Torah, the Orev, and then he's saying, physically, with his finger, he's pointing at a bird and saying, ah, here is the Orev. But the Tana is not sitting in front of us. We have a written text, a written source, and as it is, we don't have someone pointing to an Orev, so what does this phrase mean? Elo Ema. Rather, you have to explain thusly. Orev, the word of the Torah, Orev, the Tana tells me, Ze Orev Uchma. He's telling me this is the black Orev. The Chenu Omer, and similarly the Pasuk indicates that an Orev is black. Kivutzois of Tartalim Shchoros Ke'orev. So we've dashed underlined Shchoros, which is the key word for this point. Uchma, which the Gemara explained, is black, and Shchoros is black. So we see in this Pasuk that blackness like the Orev. In the source, we saw Ho'amochi, the extra word, so to speak, of the Pasuk, which said Eskol, that was coming to include the Orev Ho'amochi, and the Gemara explains Ho'amochi is Chivra, is a white-colored bird. V'cheinu omer umareu amoik min ha'or. The word amoki has in it the idea of depth. And this idea of depth is kemare chamo ha'amuko min ha'tzel. First, the Gemara had cited v'cheinu omer umareu amoik min ha'or. This is a pasuk in the context of a person suffering from negoyim. The goyim on the skin are white splotches, and it's a whiteness, whiter than, of course, the healthy, normal surrounding skin. And when you have a bright spot, there is an impression of, an imagined impression of depth. And that's explained by the Gemara when it says, like the sun that's shining onto a shadowy background. If you can imagine, let us say, a tree that produces shade, but there's a break in the branches allowing a spot of like sunlight to shine down onto the surrounding darkness produced by the shade. If one looks at that, the bright spot on a dark background, there's a feeling that the bright spot is deeper than the surrounding dark area. Hence, the word amoki, which has to do with depths, is associated with something that's bright in color. Bright because of the feeling of depth that is produced when it's on a dark background. The source mentioned for Orev Haba B'Roshe Yoinim. But we should point out, with our markings, we've underlined several expressions in the last couple of lines, and I'm sure you've noticed that these are, in effect, quotes from the Brisa, and these highlights are so that you can see at what point in the Gemara the different points are explained. So this was the last phrase of that Brisa, Omar Av Papa, Lo Tema De'osi Bereish Yoni. Don't explain this as a reference to a bird or an orev, a type of orev that flies at the head of a flock of yoni, of doves. Elo de domi reishe lidiona. The expression of lemino is including a type of orev whose head looks like the head of a Yonah. Yonah being a, the Yonah itself is a kosher variety bird, but the Orev, whose head looks like a Yonah, is not a kosher variety bird. Just to clarify, the last point that Rav Papa was making was that the Braisa had mentioned Orev Haboba Rosh Yonim. So Rav Papa says, don't translate that as one might commonly say, that it's a bird flying at the head. Resh is the head of a flock of these kind of birds. But rather, Resh means the head of the bird itself looks like the bird, like the Yonah bird head. Tana Rabbanan. Now we turn to a new Tanaic source with another bird featured. This is the Nates from Pasuk Tes Zayin in Perek Yud Aleph. Hanates ze hanates. Leminehu, which is a word in the Pasuk, Lahavi es bar chiria. To include the bar chiria bird. My bar chiria, Omar Abaye Shurinka. These are words that were known to the Gemara, and hence Abaye is benefiting us by saying Shurinka. This is a clearer description or identification than the expression bar chiria that the Tana used. Omar Rav Yehuda Hachasida. That's a bird mentioned in Pasuk Yutes. Zu Daya Levona. That's the Daya Levona, which was a known bird. Loma Nikra Shma Chasida. Why is Daya Levona called by that word in the Torah, by that name? She'oise Chasidus im Chavroiseha. It does charity or piety for its friends. Namely, it will distribute food, its own food to other birds. Ho'anofa. This is a bird mentioned in Pasuk Yutes. Zu Daya Ragzonis. The word Ragzonis has to do with wrath, wrathful. So it's the Daya Ragzonis. Loma nikra shmo anofa. Why is it called by that name? She me'a nefes im chavroseha. It's a type of bird that becomes wrathful with its friends, with its other birds. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading that accompanies this, and you'll see in the outside margin a house marking is featured, just like you see in the Gemara text itself, and also a number 1 appears to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. The number 2 will appear on Amud Beis. What are these markings for? So we have written in our note in the outside margin, Shnei Deos, two opinions, Kama Ofos Temeim Heim. How many Ofos Temeim are there? How many different varieties of Ofos Temeim, of unkosher type birds? Hagemora Dona Basheila, the Gemara will be involved with this question, the Lefi Rav Chista Shomer Chavdalet Heim. According to Rav Chista, who says there are 24 v'ha baturo lo motzim chavdalet, by superficial looking at the parsha, you don't see 24. Optimally, for this Gemara, one would be recommended to have a chumash with Sefer Vayikra, Parshas Shmini, and also Sefer Dvorim with Parshas Re'eh available. Omar Rav Chonon Bar Rav Chista, Omar Rav Chista, Omar Rav Chonon Bre Derova, Omar Rav. A lot of names quoted. We highlighted Rav Chista's name. Esrim Va'arbo Oifos Tumeim Hein. We've dashed underline this because we want this to be the focal point of our discussion. There are 24 unkosher varieties of birds. At this point, the Gemara starts a long question. This is indicated by the long question mark, and you can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. Amar le Rav Chanan bar Rav Chista le Rav Chista. Dehecha. 24 birds where? Namely, where in the Chumash? E devayikra, if you think that it's in Sefer Vayikra, Esrim Havu. If you count the birds listed in Parsha Shmini, you'll come up with 20. E de Mishneh Torah, if you're referring to Mishneh Torah, it means Sefer Devarim. Esrim V'chad Havu. There are 21 in the list found in Parshas Re'eh. V'chitema, Do'a d'ksiva b'vayikra, v'lo ksiva b'mishneh Torah, Shadya Alayhu. And if you say that the Do'a bird, which is mentioned in Vayikra, and not mentioned in Mishneh Torah, Sefer Dvarim, so take that Do'a and add it to the 21 listed in Sefer Dvarim. Mishneh Torah is a name for Sefer Dvarim. So if that is the case, so what? Akati Esrin Utrain Havu. You'll only have 22. When Rav Chista told us about 24. Omar Le, Rav Chista responds, Hochi Omar Avua de Imoch Mishmei de Rav. Thusly says your mother's father in the name of Rav. Now, mother's father in this case is a reference to Rav Chanan Brei de Rava. Lemina, lemina, lemino, leminehu. These are words that are found in Parshas Vayikra. And these words, harekan arba, they account for four more birds. Well, if that's the case, ihochi esrin vishishavu. If you count these words that you find in Sefer Vayikra and in Sefer Dvarim, you're going to, once we got to 22 in Sefer Dvarim, and now you add these four, you're up to 26. That's the Gemara's Kasha V'yochi Esrim V'shishavu. Now you've got 26. When Rav Chista told us there were 24. Omar Abaye, Do'a v'ro'a achas hi. The do'a is not an additional bird. The do'a is the same as the ro'a mentioned in Devarim. So that we don't have to add the do'a as was suggested before, because the do'a is accounted for already in Sefer Devarim by its mentioning of ro'a. The Gemara continues this answer, Abaye's answer. It's classified with our markings as a long answer, and you can see we have a long answer marking to account for this. De'i salka daituch tarti inun, if you were to think that the daw and raw are two different kinds of birds, michti, well, then let's look into this. Mishneh Torah lo sofihu de'osa. Sefer Dvarim is designed in part to add, in other words, things mentioned earlier in the Torah would be repeated in Sefer Dvarim, and in Sefer Dvarim, things would be added, possibly. My shna hocha, why would it be then that in Sefer Vayikra dechtiv da'a, u'may shna hocha in Sefer Dvorim dechtiv ra'a v'loksiv da'a? Why would it then be that in Sefer Dvorim only ra'a is mentioned and not da'a? If the role of Sefer Dvarim is Laosofi, is to add, so then you would expect in Sefer Dvarim that which was mentioned previously would be mentioned again, and something would be added. And yet, we don't find Do'a mentioned in Sefer Dvarim. Elo Shma Mina, we therefore have to conclude that Min Ro'a V'Do'a Achas Hi. that the raw and daw are really one in the same, so that it's not to be added. In other words, the daw, as we said earlier, would be added to the list in Sefer Dvarim. Not so. Okay, so we can now discount the daw as contributing to the number. Vakati chaf hei havu. Chaf hei is 25. But still, we've got a problem. Rav Chisda said 24. We got up to 26 with the extra luminos. And we're now reducing the 26 by 1 by saying that raw and daw are one and the same. But still, that leaves me with 25. Omar Abaye. We have another answer, a long answer, as the marking indicates, to the immediate, to this immediate side of the Gemara text. Kishem shera v'daw achasi, just like we establish the raw and daw are one in the same, kach ayo v'daya achasi. So too, these birds are really one in the same, so that when counting, you don't count ayo and daya as one and two, but rather they're one bird. And that will give me the 24, like Rav Chisda said. The isaka daitoch tarti inun, if you were to think that ayo and daya are two different kinds of birds, michti, mishnah Torah le'osofi hu de'osa. We explained this just before, that the role of mishnah Torah is to increase or add to that which may have been mentioned earlier. So we have things that are mentioned in Sefer Vayikra, and Sefer Dvarim would go over it and add to it, if that be the case. And yet, umay shno hocha dechtiv lemino a'aya, in Parshas Shmini, in Sefer Vayikra, the word lemino we find attached to the ayah bird. And for your convenience, we have written the psukim in the margin of the page, so you can see Vayikra Yud Aleph Posuk Yud Aleph is featured, and we've written the relevant words. It says there Ves Hado Ves Ho Ayo Lemino. So you can see the word Lemino is attached to the Aya. That's true in Sefer Vayikra. The Gemara goes on, Umay Shno Hosam in Sefer Dvorim, what's different about Sefer Dvorim, Dechtiv Lemino? The word Lemino is A Daya, is attached to the Daya bird, and not attached to the Aya. In other words, you see in Sefer Dvorim something that's different than Sefer Vayikra. Not a quote of Sefer Vayikra and some addition, but something different. Well, that wouldn't conform to the style of Mishnah Torah. Elo Shma Mino. From the fact that there is this seeming difference, in fact, there is no difference. So we'll therefore conclude that Ayo Vidayo Achashi. And hence, when the word Lemino is attached to Ayo in Sefer Vayikra, in effect, the same thing is happening in Sefer Dvorim, where the word Lemino is attached to the Daya. Because the Dai and I are one in the same. Well, then, this raises another question. We should point out, though, before going ahead, that just to remind ourselves of what we're involved with, that this is the, we've just seen the end of the long answer we had said before starting Abaye, that we had gotten to 25. Abaye then answered that the ayah and dayah, which we originally had counted as two, are really one in the same. And the Gemara goes on to prove that by the fact that you have in Mishnah Torah something that would seem to be different than Sefer Vayikra, which would not be in conforming to what the role of Sefer Dvarim is to perform, is to do, namely, lo sofi. And therefore, we have to conclude that Aya and Daya are one in the same. Now, the Gemara asks, if you focus on the Pasuk in Sefer Dvarim, Perek Yudal and Pasuk Yud Gimel, you see, in addition to Daya, Aya is mentioned. If you're saying that Aya and Daya are one in the same, so then you have a redundancy or a repetition in Sefer Dvarim. V'chimeacher sh'aya v'daya achas hi, Once you tell me that they are one and the same, Loma Lei Lemichtav Ayavadaya, why in Sefer Dvarim, Perek Yud Dalid, Pasuk Yud Gimel, are both written? The answer to that is found in the upcoming Tanaic source. So we read ahead. Rebbe Omer, Ekro Ani Aya, Daya Loma Nemra. I read Aya. Why does the Torah go on to tell me about Daya? Why does it list it? Kedei Shelo Titein Pischein Peh Lebal Din Lachloik. So as not to give any room or opening for the skeptic to argue. Shaloi tehei ata kore aya, vuhu kore daya, or ata kore daya, vuhu kore aya. We wouldn't want to have a situation where you say that an aya is forbidden, and he'll say, fine, the aya is forbidden, but the daya is allowed, or the other way around, so as to put the Baal Din, the skeptic, into the corner. The Torah does the following: Kach Kosav Mishnah Torah, V'Hora'ah V'Esoayah V'Hadayah Lamina, that the Ayah and the Dayah are Usher. Now they are in fact one in the same, but by listing them separately, the skeptic has no room to claim that one of them is Mutter. You'll notice with our markings we have a semicolon. This helps in showing that the meisve, which is a kasha, is not a kasha on that which was said just before, namely anything in this Tanaic source, but rather the meisve, and Rashi takes pains to point this out. Rashi tells us that the meisve is going as a kashan rav that said earlier there were 24 Tmeim birds, and in order to get to that number, we had to say that the Daw and Raw were one, and the Ayah and Dayah were one. Let us continue. Meisve, Loma Nishnu Bevehema. Why does the Torah repeat in Sefer Dvarim the list of laws regarding the kashrus of a behemah when it was already mentioned in Sefer Vayikra? Answer, Mipnei Hashesua. Because in Sefer Dvarim, it wanted to say something new, something additional. So, as we saw before, the role of Sefer Dvarim is to add, so it will mention that which was mentioned before with something new. So because it wanted to talk about the Shesua creature, it mentioned again that which was mentioned in Sefer Vayikra. Uba Ophos, and in the case of Ophos, why does the Torah repeat itself? Mipnei ha-ra'ah. Because of the ra'ah. And now the question is explained. My lav, is it not so that mi de-behema de-hosam le-osofi, in the case of behemoths, of animals, there was addition, namely the Shesua was added, namely the Shesua is something new that wasn't mentioned in Vayikra. Ophos nami, lo sofi. In the case of the Ophos, we mentioned that mitnei hara'ah, ra'ah is something new. Oh, and that would be a kasha on that which we had learned up till now, where we said that the raw that the da'a and the ra'a were one in the same. From here it would seem that the ra'a is not one in the same. It's additional, it's new, it's something new, just like the Shesua was something new with regard to behemoths. The Gemara responds and says, Loi, not to make this equation. Hasam lo sofi. In the case of the behemoth, in fact, the shesua is an addition, is something new. Hacha nefrushi. Here, in the case of the birds, the raw is an explanation of what da'a was before in Sefer Vayikra. Lefrushi, an explanation, not something new. Upliga de Rebbe Avohu. Rav Chisda's approach, wherein 24 ofos tameim was mentioned, is at odds, or is different, than Rebbe Avohu's approach. With the markings, you can see that we're about to start a long point. The nun is encircled, indicating an akuda, and you see a vertical descending dashed line. All of these lines produce this point that what we've learned till now under Rav Chisda's name is at odds with Rebbe Avohu. You'll also notice that we have another house marking, which enables you to make the association or connection with the number one house marking, which was Rav Chisda on Omer Aleph. And here you can see the little two to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. The Omer Rabbi Avo, Ra'a Zu Aya. Just to remind ourselves, according to the Rav Chisda approach, Ra'a and Da'a were one in the same. Aya and Daya were one in the same. Rabbi Avohu is telling us that Ra is Aya. That's different. The Loma Nikra Shma Ra. Why is the Aya called Ra? Why does it have this additional name when it's one in the same? Sheroya Biyoser. It has extraordinary vision. The Chenu Omer. The Pasuk also alludes to the Aya as having extraordinary vision. It says Nesiv Lo Yodu Ayit. And the eye of the ayah didn't behold it, meaning it's something that it's an extreme thing that even the ayah, which has amazing eyesight, this pasuk is saying that the ayah didn't see it. But for our purposes, we've dashed underlined ein ayah, the eye of the ayah, indicating that it's a bird that's held as an example of something with extraordinary eyesight. Tana, Oimedes Bebavel Veroya Nevela Beretz Yisrael. This is a Tanaic source that may have some symbolism in it. It may be a reference to something of a deeper nature, but we're going to simply translate. It says that this bird can stand in Bavel and see a carcass in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara continues, and we should point out, before going too much further, it is true that we began this sugya by saying that Rav Chisda and his 24 were at odds or different than Rebbe Avohu. However, this is a point that's only made or comes to a head when we finish the long point. In the meantime, the Gemara thinks, as it works through, till we get to the end, as it works through this discussion, it thinks that Rebbe Avohu is beholden to the 24 number. Okay, that point is important to bear in mind as we proceed. Things will change, but for the meantime, the Gemara thinks that the 24 is sacrosanct and that everyone has to hold from that. So the Gemara continues, Midoro Hainu Daya, from the fact that we've established under Rabbi Avohu's name that the Ra is the Daya, is the Aya, Michlal Dido'a Lav Hainu Ra'a. It must be then the Da'a is not the Ra, which, by the way, is different than Rav Chisda, who Rav Chisda said the Ra and Da'a are one and the same. But if you want to preserve your number 24, and you're going to say that Ra is Aya, then Da'a cannot be Ra. Well, Michti, if you want to say that, that Da'a is not the same as Ra, then we're going to run into the old Mishnah Torah problem. Michti, Mishnah Torah lo sofihu de'asa. The role of Mishnah Torah is to add something to pre-existing lists. Ma'ishna hocha, why is it then in Sefer Vayikra dechtiv da'a, is the da'a bird mentioned? U'ma'ishna hosam in Sefer Dvarim deloksiv da'a, that da'a is not mentioned. Sefer Dvarim is coming to add to that which was mentioned before, not to skip something that was mentioned before, not to have something, let's say, novel mentioned in another sefer and not in Dvorim. Elolav shmamino do v'ro v'ayo achas hi. Because of this, because of the fact that in sefer Dvorim do wasn't mentioned, it must be that its mentioning of ro in fact covers do. They are one and the same. And we already said that the Ra and Aya are one and the same. So by association, these three names are one bird. Okay? However, Umida Ra, Hainu Daya, and we're still working with the assumption that Rabbi Avo also has to get to 24. And if you're going to say that raw is ayah and is also daw, michlal de daya lav hainu ayah. It must be that the daya is not the ayah. The Gemara asks, well, my shno hasam dichtiv lemino ayah. If you're going to say that Aya and Daya are not one in the same, then we're going to have the old problem before, that the word Lamino in Sefer Vayikra is attached to Aya. U'mayishnaocha in Sefer Dvorim de lo ksiv Lamino a'aya ela adaya. And in Sefer Dvorim, things appear different. And as we said already, it can't be that in Sefer Dvorim something is different. Elo shma mino Do v'ro daya v'ayo achas hi. We therefore have to conclude that all four names are descriptions of one bird. At this point, we conclude the long point that was made, that Rabbi Avoh's approach has all four representing one bird. This is different than the Rav Chista approach, which associated ayo and daya as one bird, and Ra and Da as one bird, accounting for, we'll say, a total of two birds. Whereas with regard to Rabbi Avo, we only account for one bird using all four names. And of course, if you do that, you're going to end up with less than 24 birds. Tanya, Isi ben Yehuda Omer, Mea oifois tmeim yesh b'mizrach, v'kulon min ayohain. Isi tells us that there are 100 types of ofos tmeim, and they all fall under the category of ayah. Toni avimi bre derbi avo. Sheva meas mine dogim hain. There are 700 kinds of fish. V'shmeinu meas mine chagavim, and 800 types of locusts. And with regard to birds, there is no number associated with birds. Birds, there are 24. We said there are 24 unkosher variety birds. Why does the source tell me that regarding birds, there's no number? Ella, rather, understand as follows. As far as the kosher variety birds, there is no number. It's endless, the types of kosher variety birds. Tanya, Rebbe Omer, Golui v'yodua lefnei mi shomer v'hoya olam. It is known, it's clear to the Almighty. He's the one that said the world shall come into being. Shebehema tameya meruba min ataros, that there are more types of behema tameyas than there are of behema taros, of kosher variety. There are more unkosher variety animals than kosher variety. Lefikach mona kosov b'tahara. Therefore, the Torah, in giving us a list of kosher variety animals, it lists the kosher variety. It being a much shorter list. Likewise, it is known and clear to the one who brought the world into being, the Almighty, that the kosher variety birds are greater in number than the unkosher variety. Therefore, the Torah listed the unkosher variety. So you see in both cases, the listing of the Torah was a listing of that which is fewer in number. My komash malon. Of what value is there in my knowing this? What practical application does this brisa have for us? Answer, kide Rav Huna Amar Rav. Like Rav Huna teaches, the Amri Lo, another version of names, is Omar Rav Huna Omar Rav Mishum Rabbi Meir. L'oilam yishne odom l'talmidoi derech ketzora. That a person should always strive when teaching something to teach in as succinct a fashion as possible. Of course, not compromising clarity, but it, when one can achieve his goal using a succinct, a short explanation, that is preferable. Amar Rabbi Yitzchok, Oif Tohor Nechal B'Masuris. A kosher bird can be eaten if one has a tradition. Now, how do we define tradition or explain it? We look in Rashi, across from here, there's a Rashi B'Masuris, Im Zohur Hu B'Odom Kosher She'ochlo. If you remember a pious individual eating such a bird, or one's teacher or knowledgeable trapsman told him that it's something is Torah, then you can rely on that. The Gemara goes on, Ne'emon hatzayid lomar oif ze tohor mosar li rabbi. A tzayid, a huntsman, a trapsman, is believed when he says, this of tohor was given to me, or was transmitted to me, by my Rebbe. Omar Rabbi Yochanan v'hu, sheboki bohen u vishmo sehen. This wise man would have to be expert in the birds and their names, which I understand to mean to make an association between the bird itself and its name. In other words, it would be insufficient for him to simply list off the names of kosher variety birds, but he'd have to know which name goes with which bird. Boy Rabbi Zera, Raboi Chocham, Oi Rabo Tzayid. The reference that was made by Rabbi Yitzchok to Rabbi, he said that a tzayed, a trasin, is believed when he says that this tohor kind of bird was given to me by my Rebbe. What is meant by Rebbe? Is it Rabo Chocham? Is Rabo a Torah scholar? Or Rabo tzayed? Or Rabo is a reference to the huntsman that trained this hunter. So Rabo means a teacher. Is it a teacher, like a Torah teacher, a Torah scholar, or a man of the outdoors that knows about trapping? Toshma. So in order to answer Rabbi Zera's question, the Gemara cites that which we just saw. That the person who is trusted in saying that this is Torah must be someone that is expert in the identification of which kind, which name goes with which bird. So from Rabbi Yochanan's comment, I understand who the Rabo is. E amrs bishlamo Rabo Sayid Shapir. If you say that Rabo, namely that original dashed underline expression Rabbi, the teacher, is a reference to an outdoorsman, hunter, individual. So then, this makes sense that he would be someone that would be able to identify the kind of bird with its name, the name with the specific bird that is associated with it. If you're going to say that Rabo is a reference to someone who's a Torah scholar, and not an outdoorsman, not a trapsman, well, Bishlam Ashmayo Gomerlu, I can understand that a Torah scholar will know the list of names of kosher variety birds. Ela inhu mi yodalahu, but the specific bird that goes with that particular name. How would a person who sits day and night poring over Torah books know what the know the physical or be able to physically identify a specific bird with the name? He hasn't seen the birds. Elalav Shmamina Rabo Tzayid Shmamina. Therefore, we have to conclude Rabbi Zera's question of what, who was Rabo. Rabo means someone who had trained him in trapping and hunting. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.